again, we're almost finished. And I'm not going to spend the year on Shemitah, although it's a Shemitah. But really, I want you to go over with some, in a fundamental way, the whole machlokes of selling land to goyim. And I'll try to bring it up today, but you're going back to the Makor of the Rambam. That is, there is a machlokes in the Gemara, you'll remember. If the ownership of a guy of lands in Eretz Yisrael is mafkia, does it take away the holiness of the lands? So the Rambam Shita is that we paskin that the ownership of a non-Jew of land in Eretz Yisrael is not mafkia, it does not terminate the Kedushas Haaretz. And this has a lot of ramifications. Number one, if land is sold to a guy, but I buy it back, and then I have a new crop, for sure, I'm chayiv in trumas and maaseres. Number two, even a crop that grows on the guy's land, while it's the guy's land, if I buy the crop, and I'm the one that did gemar malacha, I did meruach, I did gemar malacha, 100% chayiv. Chayev, meaning you have to separate. Now there's a Chayshim Mishpat issue, but I'm Chayev. And those are the two rules, Lagabe Chayev. And the third rule is that if the guy did Gemar Malacha, it's not Chayev. And then we had a Machlokas, the Rambam Shita is, even if the guy did Gemar Malacha on a Jew, in other words, the Rambam learns, even on land owned by a Jew, Gemar Malacha would be like Patras, so the Ravid learns only Gemar Malacha on land owned by a non-Jew.
There's three, maybe I missed it.
Yeah, the three halachas are the three halachas of chiyuv. Again, the chayshin mishpat halachas are a little different. The three halachas of chiyuv are: number one, if I buy the land from the goy and I grow a crop, I'm chayiv in trumas and maaseres. In other words, he's not mafkia kedusha from the land. Number two, he's not even mafkia kedusha from the peiros on the land, as long as the Yisrael did gemar malacha. But number three, the one case where there will be Havkas Kedusha is when a guy did the Gemar Malacha. And that's why, as I say, that's why Shrita is different, but that's why I can buy apples from Arabs, because assuming it was processed by Arabs, so the Gemar Malacha for fruit. Well, again, Gemar Malacha is the processing that can bring something to the market or to the home. So for fruits, Gemar Malacha is nothing more than filling a basket. So Mamela. Any apple that the guy picked from the guy's property is putra from Trumas and Maishas, because that's called Gemar Malacha. Okay? So those are our three basic Isra Vehetra rules. If I buy the land and I grow a crop, I'm Vadai Chayiv. If I buy the crop, either I buy, it makes a difference, if I buy the crop or I buy the land that has the growing crop, that makes no difference. And I did Gemar Malacha, I'm Chayiv. If, on the other hand, the guy did Gemar Malacha, there's a din of Meruach Akum. Meruach Akum is a pucker, and there you have the Machlokas, the Rambam, and the Ravid. Very important Machlokas, because it's not just a technical Machlokas. It's a Machlokas, what is Meruach Akum? Does it mean any land that a guy owned at the time of Gemar Malacha? Or any payers? Even if Israel did the Meruach, is Meruach Akum? Is it based on the ownership of the land, or is it based on who did the Pa'ula of Meruach? Yeah.
I don't know anything about this, but if you look at the land, and the land is looked at as a chefzer, the chefzer of Kedusha always remains. Along comes a gavra who does the Gemar Malacha, so even though the chefzer has Kedusha, and the gavra does not have Kedusha, he does Gemar Malacha, you say, well, maybe it comes from the Kedusha, but no, he's the one who's doing it. So in terms of two separate things, the Kedusha always remains.
He doesn't have Kedusha.
So therefore the Chayfetz that comes out from that, even though it's coming from a land that has Kedusha, but he's doing, it's going on the government doing the poem,
So what I'm saying is, okay, so what I'm saying is, this actually depends on the Rambam and the Ravid. What you're saying is 100% true according to the Rambam. According to the Rambam, Meruach Akum is a Gzeres HaKosov regarding the person who does Gemar Malacha. According to the Rambam, even if the land is owned by a Jew, Lagamri, and he has a non-Jewish worker doing Gemar Malacha, it's a Gzeres HaKosov. There's no chi of trumas and maisras if the maisa of gemar malacha was to a guy. That's according to the Rambam. And the idach kisa, the Rambam shita is, even if the land was owned by a guy, if he hired a Jewish worker to do gemar malacha, it would be chayiv.
That's the gavra.
Yeah, so according to the Rambam, it's legamri the gavra, whoever the guy is. But the Ravid learns very differently. The Ravid learns, a meruach akon is not a reference to the person who did the maisa of meruach. It is a reference to who owned the land at the time of the gemar malacha, meaning that even though the ownership of a guy doesn't take off the kedusha, but if the guy was still the bailim of the peiros all the way until their meruach, it doesn't become this chayav. And therefore, according to the Ravid, if a guy does meruach on my fruit, chayav. And the other way around, if I do meruach on the guy's produce, and even if I buy it later, pacha, right? So that's the Ravid. That's a totally different definition. We're not, well, the truth is, again, when you buy the apple in the Arab shuk, according to both opinions, there's both the guy did the meruach and it belonged to a guy, so that's why there'll be no machlekes there. Okay, now, these are the three principles legabe the chiyuv of hafrasha and the yisur teva. Right? In other words, in the first two cases, in other words, basically, as long as the Jew does the meruach, however that's defined, there is a chiyuv of hafrashas, trumas, and masros, and there's an yisur teva. However, based on another gemara, right, and that's based on the sugya in Gittin. Now, because the whole sugya in Gittin, yesh kinyan liyakum lavkia, or ein kinyan liyakum lavkia, that is a sugya about tevel and the chiyuv to be mafrish, trumas, and maisros. Now, based on a different sugya, based on a gemara in Bechiris, which is a different sugya, different gemara, that the gemara in Gittin does not cross-reference to, there's another rule, legabe the chiyuv nesina. Because again, to take off the Yisur Tevel, what I do is I'm mafrish. I separate trumas and maisros. Even before I give it to them. Today we don't give anything because of tumah. Even before I give it, even if I don't give it, as soon as I separate, there's no Yisur Tevel. But, in addition, bisman that we have tumah v'taira, there is a chiyuv nesina. There's a chiyuv nesina. I'm a chiyuv to give trumah to a kohen. I'm a chiyuv to give maiser rishon to a levi. I'm a chuyiv to give my sir ani to an ani. I'm a chuyiv for my tushani. I'm a chuyiv to eat it in your tonight. Now, in a sense, that is not a unique law of trumas and maestras. That is more of a mamandika halacha. By that I mean that once I make something truma, it is mamon that belongs to a kohen. It has to be given to a kohen. Once I make something maeser, it's mamon hashevet. Now, it's true that if I fail to give it, there's no particular person that could take me to Beis Din. This is what the Gemara says. It's Mama Channel of Tevin. I could always say I'm going to give it to somebody else. Right? You're a Kohen, you're suing me for Truma? I said, I think I'll give it to him, not you. So, but that's more of a procedural problem. But even if there's no Teveya, that's the whole Shaila. Like, Lo Yitzru, we had all the Kohanim, could they write a Harsha? I mean, basically, you know, if property either belongs to me or you, but we don't know for sure. The Gemara says, if each of us go over to somebody separately, you could say Hamotzi Michavero Lofaraya. Right? If you have two Tavrim, right? Two Yosef Ben Shimon, right? I signed the Shtar. I owe money to Yosef Ben Shimon, but you know there are two of them, and we don't know which one. And whatever reason, the Shtar was found in the street. Right? So the Gemara says that each one could give a Harsha, meaning I can authorize you to collect for me, and you can authorize me to collect for you. I'm in Mela, any one of us. In other words, you either owe me or you owe him, and I'm his shaliach. So theoretically, if we were able to get all the Kohanim in the world together, perhaps they should be able to be Toveya Truma by a Harsha, but practically, you know, you're not going to get all the Kohanim in the world. So even if you get 99, every Kohen will accept one. So I could always say, I'm going to give it to that guy in Timbuktu. He's the guy I want to give it to.
Are you saying that every Kohen will want to do this if it's my like this?
So the question is, can you make a harsha through Zachin Liyadim Shalabafana? That's an interesting question. But I'll tell you why that's not going to work. Because the only umdina is if he has a chance of getting it. But if he's in Timbuktu, he's not going to get it. In other words, it's not to his zechus to give a harsha, so you'll be able.
It's his supposed to do it, but he's not do this every situation, because then in one situation he'll benefit.
Well, okay, but the question is then going to be, okay, the question is then, Lamaisa, what are you going to do with it? See, with money, the way it works is this. By money, so the Harsha allows me to be Teveya, and then we have our own settlements, how we split up the money. I mean, we have to come to a cheshbon. I mean, obviously, I'm not going to give you a Harsha so you can collect the money and keep it.
Oh, next time you're going to give it to me. If I'm in my city, I'm going to be able to take the money myself.
Well, the way the Gemara describes it is that the Harsha gives any one of them the kayach to collect, and then they make their own pshara, how they want to split it. I mean, obviously, 50-50, either 50-50 or whatever it would be. How that would work with food, like truma, you know, not so push it. I mean, the truma is going to spoil. I mean, somebody's going to have to kind of eat it right away, you know. So Derek Lowe does one. But putting that question aside, it's an interesting possibility. So in Hilchos Chayshin Mishpat, Lagabe Nesina, so here the Rambam has a different Nakuda. And the Rambam's Nakuda is, even if, in terms of Kedusha Sa'oretz, you are mechuyev to separate Trumas and Maisras, if it grew within the Goy's Rishus, and you bought it from a Goy, you bought the produce from a Goy, then under the laws of ownership, you acquire whatever ownership the Goy has. This is a fundamental rule in all kinyanim, that when you buy property from anybody, you always, unless he's Meshayer, unless he limits what you're kaina, you always get the zechusim. Right? I buy something. I buy your car. I have whatever bailus in the car you have, I have. Now, since it's a Dover Pashat, that the Goy himself could never be compelled to give Trumas and Maisras, so Mimela, the pay rice that grew, Birshus HaGoy, I'm not Mechuyiv to give Trumas and Maishas. So therefore, the way the Rambam explains it is the following. The Rambam says, if I buy pay rice, Tavua pay rice, from a Goy, and I did Gemar Malacha, I am Mechuyiv to be Mafrish everything, to take off the Yisr Tevel. But Lagabe Nesina, Truma I give, because Truma could be a Masher, so I'm going to give Truma, Chazal didn't pot for me. But Lagabe Maiser Rishain, I can sell it to a lady. I can charge. I'm not Mechuyev to give it, because I could claim I have the bailus of the guy to be Madcha. I don't have to give Maiserani at all, because, I mean, there's no point in selling Maiserani. If poor people can buy, they can go to a store and the like. But Biikr, the Kenech, is that I am a putter from Nesina. Now, it then gets a little more complicated, because the Rambam paskins that if you buy Peiris Mechubra Lakarka that have not yet reached a third of their growth, they're considered non-existent as Peiros. So then when they ripen and you do Meruach, you have to give. If you buy them when they're fully grown, you don't have to give. And if you buy them after they reach the third, but they continue to ripen, in other words, you bought the mechubar, so the Rambam says you apportion it. So if one third grew in the guy's rishus, and two thirds grew in your rishus, then one third of the maaser rishon you can sell, and two thirds of the maaser rishon you have to give, right? There's an apportionment in terms of that, right? That's the Rambam's shita, that whatever grew in the Goy's Rishus, once it reached one third of its growth, that's called Onas HaMasros, there is a Petur of Nesina, even though you're Mechuyev to be Mafrej. These are the general rules of this. Okay, now, let's apply these things to Shemitah. We know that the Shemitah year has a fundamental difference from all the other years, and that is Peiros Shavuos are putter from Trumas and Maisras, right? This is the big thing. The Torah says, I can go into the field, I can take Peiros Shavuos, they're putter. Why are they putter? So the Pashtus, why Peiros Shavuos are putter, is because they are Hefker. Because anybody can come and take them. And there's a general rule, anything that's Hefker is Pachter from Trumas and Maisras. Hefker is Pachter from Maisras from the Mela during the year too. If I'm Mafker my Peiros before Gemar Malacha, then I could be zayche in those peiros, and I'm not mechuyev in trumas and mashos even after gemar malacha. Memela, the pashtus is peiros shavias are potter mitam hefker. Okay, this is zangenum, and this is very, very pashtus. Now, what's a little tricky is what makes something peiros shavias. Right? Peiros shavias are potter mitrumas and mashos. But what defines something as the produce of Shemitah? So here we have to be mechalek between fruit, vegetable, and grain. Because what year they're allocated to depends on the min. If it is grain, grain is allocated to the year that it reached one-third of its ripening, which is normally the onas ha-maisras. Which means, if the grain reached one-third of its ripening before Rosh Hashanah, even though two-thirds were after Rosh Hashanah, and it was harvested during Shemitah in a permissible way, let's say, no for consumption, it belongs to the sixth year, not the seventh year. And it is chayev in trumas and maisras. Okay, you go basar avos shalish. By the way, since it belongs to the sixth year, there would be no issue of harvesting because it doesn't have, it's not peiros shavias. I can harvest six-year produce during Shemitah. The issue is to harvest seventh-year produce during Shemitah. So if it's tavua, I go basar havas shlish. By the way, that's not only nogea Shemitah, it's also nogea which year, whether it's a Maaser Rishon year or every year is Maaser Sheni year or Maaser Ani year, same question. If it is fruit, I go basar what is called chanata. Now chanata literally means budding. And you have to be a little bit of a buggy for this, which I'm not, but basically fruit-bearing trees produce flowers, and after the flowers fall off, there is a hard bud that remains, and that hard bud will be what becomes the fruit. And that's just the very beginning of the fruit. But the MS is, as long as there is chanata in the sixth year, even if 95% of the fruit grew during the seventh year. That's why, for example, at this point of the year, there are no fruits that would be peiros shavias, because whatever comes to market, the chanata occurred before Rosh Hashanah. Later on in the year, you'll have chanata afterwards. Now, this is important because this actually means that many fruits that will come to market in the eighth year will, in fact, have the status of Shemitah. Because Ilanais, we go basar. I'm not even talking about beer. Beer is another problem. I'm just talking about perish. Even before beer, it has to be eaten b'ketushas shavias. Okay, that's chanata. Now, it's a little complicated like this. Because Ilanas have a double whammy here during 6 years. They don't have that during Shemitah. That is, one issue is that Ilanos are assigned to the year in which there's Chanata. But there's another complication, and that is the Rosh Hashanah for trees is not Tishrei, it's Tu B'Shvat. So by that I mean the following. Let's say year one, right? Year one, forget about Shemitah. Year one is a Maaser Sheni year. Okay? So let's say a tree was Nechanat after Rosh Hashanah of year two, but before Tu B'Shvat. So even though it was Nechanat after year two, it is still a year one fruit because it was Nechanat before Tu B'Shvat. And therefore you're going to take not Maaser, bad example. It's going from year two to three. In other words, I was trying to give you a case where the Maaser switches from Maaser Ani to Maaser, Maaser Sheni to Maaser Ani. The point is, the switch in the year, Chanata, but Tu B'Shvat. Now, in Shemitah, however, this is important to know, except that Pnei Yeshua says for care, but All the Paiskim, all the Rishayim, say that Shemitah is not redefined. Tu B'Shvat has no relevance to Shemitah. Shemitah is from Rosh Hashanah to Chav Tesel, and even for Ilana. So consequently, an Ilan that is Nechnat after Rosh Hashanah of the 8th year, before Tu Bishvat, is an 8th year fruit. We do not assign it to Shemitah at all. In other words, Tu Bishvat is not Nogeya to Kedusha Shavias. Okay, so, but again, grain, Havas Shalish, Ilanais, Chanata, and then we have Yerakais. Vegetables are assigned to the time that they were actually harvested. Lakita. So, theoretically, if a vegetable grew during Shemitah, but it's not going to be harvested till after Shemitah, no Kedusha Shavias. There's no Kedusha Shavias. Le'idach Kisa, if it was fully grown before Shemitah, but it was harvested during Shemitah, it has Kedusha Shavias. Now, as a result, vegetables already have Shemitah problems, because certainly there were tomatoes, other stuff that were harvested. Now, there is a Machlokes Rishonim. Taisus and Rosh Hashanah wants to say that the definition of Yerakais, we go Basar Lakita, doesn't mean actual harvest, but it means when it's fully mature and ready to be harvested, which would create another complication. Because otherwise, the truth is, you run into a catch-22. Because it's, if you learn that it's actual Lakita that's Kaveh Kedusha Shavias, you run into some bizarre problems. And that is, until something has Kedusha Shavias, it's not Hefker. So here's the problem. Why can't I stop? Now, you want to harvest. You want to come into my field and take my tomatoes. I'm not allowed to stop you because Perish Shavias are Hefker. But why can't I make the following Lumdish argument?
Vegetables.
Since vegetables are not Kadosh Kedusha Shavias until they're harvested, then I'm not going to let you harvist them. Of course, the problem is what? The land itself. See, the land itself is not Hefker. The Raya is, I'm allowed to be Minea people from stepping into the mud as long as I give them a way of getting the Paris. So this would seem to be a Raya. Again, you have to be Miyasha of the other Shita. I mean, the whole thing only makes sense if you learn, once it's fully ripe, it has Kedusha Shavias. But to say it doesn't have Kedusha Shavias until it's harvested, so why can't I stop somebody from harvesting it?
Maybe you can, that's the case. Absolutely. It doesn't make sense.
It doesn't make sense.
You can only take the ones that fall off by themselves.
Maybe so. But vegetables don't fall off. Tomatoes fall on the ground. It would be like leket. only things that fall. Okay, but lo matzino sort of thing. Okay. Alrighty. Now, I do want to mention one other thing. Again, these are general halachas. I'm going to take it back to the Hetzer Mechira. And that is, so grain is Havas Shlish, right? Yerakais are Lakita, whatever that means. And Ilanais, Peres Ha'ilan, are Chanata, right? That's Kaveya Shavias. That's also Kaveya Meiser during the other 6 years. Now, we've spoken a number of times, just to chazu this over very quickly, that one of the Isurei Jerabanan of Shemitah, Isurei Jerabanan is an Isur of Sapicha. Now, Sapicha means that things that grow by themselves but are generally planted on a yearly basis, Midrabanan, even if it grew by itself and you did nothing wrong, you're not allowed to eat. Now, that means practically, the only thing that you can, that if it's Peres Shavias that you're allowed to eat are fruit, because fruit is not planted annually. You have a tree and every year it produces fruit. But vegetables and grain are generally, in other words, any vegetables or grain that have Kedusha Shavias are not just Kedusha Shavias, they are osur to eat, because they are nichlal in a gezeira d'rabbanan called sapichet. Now, why did the Rabbanan Asr? The Torah says, beferish, things that grow wild during Shemitah, you're allowed to eat. So this was a gezeira because people were planting things deliberately and they were Eiran and Daratza, and they were saying it grew wild. So in order that people shouldn't be marviach by planting things, be aveira, Chazal basically said, they didn't make the gzeira on the tree because, you know, you can't plant a tree and eat the fruit right away. So no one's going to plant a tree to eat the fruit during Shemitah. But people did plant vegetables and grain, right? So it turns out practically, that's why if you go to these Shemitah stores, they're called Otzer based in stores, you will not find vegetables or grains or bread or baked things. That would have to be either from Goyim or imported or from the sixth year. Because once it has Kedusha Shavias, it's going to be Nichlau in the Gezerah of Sapichim. It is only Peres or Iman that don't have the Gezerah of Sapichim because people don't plant them on an annual basis. However, it's more complicated. These laws are in fact more complicated because some Paiskim say, and again, I honestly don't know how the Yotzer Bati Din Paskin, I believe they're Machmer and everything, but some Paiskim say that since Sapichim is a Drabbanan, the Yisr of Sapichim applies only if it's most of its growth took place during Shemitah. So according to that, let's say you have a vegetable that was Nilkat during Shemitah, but most of its growth was in the sixth year. So although it has Kedusha Shavias, that you're not allowed to waste it or throw it away, but the Isser Drabbanan of Sapichim, you're not going to have because most of its growth occurred in the sixth year. Same thing with, fruit, the Chalon don't have the problem.
This helps in the first 3 months or whatever.
Yeah. Same thing with grain. Let's say, for example, 1/3 of the grain ripened during Shemitah and 2/3 after Shemitah. Now that grain has Kedusha Shavias in the sense that you're not allowed to be ma'abedit, etc. But it's not going to have the Gezerah of Sapichim because most of the Gidol occurred afterwards. So that's a separate thing. In other words, just segment that out, meaning to say the definition of Kedusha Shavias and the definition of the Yisr Sapichim don't have to walk in tandem, that the Din of Sapichim may be more lenient in terms of not imposing that Yisr, which would mean theoretically at different times of the year and in the eighth year, there may be Eitzar based in produce, B'Kedusha Shavias, that doesn't have the Yisr of Sapichim. Other poskim say no. Other poskim, again, I'll try to find out how we poskim. I honestly don't know a lot about the what all the Otzer Batei Din do. But other poskim say they have to walk hand in hand. There's Kedusha Shavias, there's a Din of Sapichim, and if there's no Kedusha Shavias, there's no Din of Sapichim. Right? So that's a big machlokas, how to learn the Gezerah of Sapichim. But, and again, I believe, I'm pretty sure that the Otzer Beis Din is Machmer, that you will not get any, I mean, you check, you go to a store, you will not find any baked goods that have Kedusha Shavias and no vegetables. And any vegetables they get will not be Otzer Beis Din. I mean, they'll get vegetable from the sixth year, from Arabs, which is actually what we're going to talk about, and the like. Okay, so this is kind of general understanding of Peiros Shavias. Yeah.
Where does the Machmer come in? Is there any way one can eat vegetables or grains that are Kedusha
Shavias? Not really. I mean, we'll talk about Goyim because the emphasis is that we'll see that even the Machmirim say there's no Isser Sapichim and Tfu of Nachrim, even if it has Kedusha Shavias. So that would be, so that's the one case where everybody uses the equivalent of the Heter Mechira. That's the only way. Then there are other rules. Sapichim don't apply, again, it's hard to even know. Sapichim don't apply to the types of vegetables that grow wild that people generally don't plant. Yeah, that would depend. I mean, obviously the type of stuff you buy in stores are things that people plant, but if you're in the forest and there's a certain type of wild plants that's edible, but they don't sell it in the stores, so there would be no Isser Sapichim because nobody plants those things. You know, but I couldn't even tell you what would be on such a list and the like. You know, it's just agav, not relevant to anything, but since they mentioned different plants that are not sold in stores, I want to tell you a beautiful maaseh. You may have heard of Rav Gutzman. Rav Gutzman was a Rosh Shiva in Eretz Yisrael, and Netzach Yisrael. And he was a great, great gadol, but a very, very modest person. He was not involved in politics. All he wanted to do was learn and write svarim and have many, many talmidim. Great, great tzaddik. But he was phenomenal as a young man when he was already like just 21 or so. He became a dayan in Vilna in the basin of Rav Chaim Isaac Gadzinski, the gadol ator. And he was so in awe. In fact, he once said that kavod means nothing to him, because when he was 21 or something, he once walked into an asefa of Rabbanim, and the Chafetz Chaim and Rav Chaim Iser stood up for him as a dayan of Vilna. So he said he had as much kavod as any human being could possibly have. So there's nothing that can impress him in terms of the kavod that way. But he was so in awe of Rav Chaim Iser that, like, he didn't paskin any shilas. People would bring shilas to him. He says he can't. He felt he wasn't worthy to paskin. So Rav Chaim Iser calls him in one day and says, do you get a salary from the Beis Din of Vilna? He says, yes. He says, well, you know, you're a Goslin. If you're not paskening, he says, you're stealing money, you have to pasken. So he became a great, great paisik. In Eretz Yisrael, he was not known as a paisik, although many people asked him, but in Europe, Imamit was, he was a dayan in Vilna. So the story goes that for 5 years during the war, he was actually a partisan. He was not in a consulate, he was a partisan. Hiding out with these, which is actually, the truth of the matter is, being with the partisans was almost as dangerous as being in a concentration camp. I mean, these were people who hated Jews, Lithuanians and whatever they were. Hungarians, he was with Lithuanians. And they would have no compunction of murdering a Jew. It meant nothing to them. But whatever, for 5 years he was with the partisans. And he recalls that before the war, in 1938, he's taking a walk with a Kleinmeiser. And, you know, in learning, he wants to talk in learning with him. And Rav Chaim Iser starts pointing mushrooms and plants. You know, this is edible, but this you can't eat. This would be poisonous. This is a very good plant. If you mix it with tea, you know, it helps the stomach. And he really couldn't understand. Rav Gutzman was a young man, so he didn't want to question him. But he didn't think, why is, like, the Rav wasting our time with, you know, plants and mushrooms and this and that? He says, I'm not going to eat this stuff. He says, for the 5 years he was a partisan, he survived. He survived on those plants. And he said it was only because of cleansing. He says, there were a lot of people who were eating different types of mushrooms. No, mushrooms, they died. These are highly toxic. They kill you. They can kill you in 2 seconds. He says his life was saved many times by that conversation with the Kleinmeiser. So he says he's batulach. It was Ruach HaKodesh. Rav Chaim Iser would start telling him this right before the war, right before the Nazis, you know, invaded Poland. So that's an amazing thing about plants, knowing what to eat and what not to eat.
How's Rav Chaim Iser about plants in the first place?
Say Hashem Lireyev, you know, the God knows everything. Yeah.
I just heard a very similar story, but it continued on.
Yes.
That actually he grew his own garden, and that he actually always worked his garden.
Yeah, that is correct. That is correct. In Netzach Yisrael, to this day, the Zeich of the Rosh Hashiva, but Rav Gutzman himself had a garden. And he watered it himself. He did not want anybody to do it for him. It was a Hakara Satov to the ground and to the plants for keeping him alive. And to this day, the yeshiva has a garden that is maintained based on that. That's 100% correct. It's interesting that somehow he was with his wife, too. I don't know exactly how she survived, but they survived together. And like after 5 years, they come back into Vilna in 1945. And he went out to forage for food with her. And then he saw a Beis Medrash. It was the first Beis Medrash with Svarim that he had seen in 5 years. And he was like paralyzed. He so much wanted to go into it. But he knew he had to find food. So his Rebbetzin saw it. He said, you go in. We can wait a half an hour. He didn't know what to do. Like, you know, how can I not look for bread? But she said, it's okay. She sent him into the basement of the for that way. By the way, again, Agav the Agav, I apologize for the digression. Rav Gutzman had a very unique Derech HaLimud. He believed that when you learn a Gemara, you first try to learn it without any Meforshim at all, including Rashi. In fact, he even did this with the Mishnah. That's an amazing thing. Learn the Mishnah. Now, of course, obviously, you're not going to be mechavet to every kasha the Gemara asks, but what kashas do you have on this Mishnah? How would you be miyashiv the kashas on the Mishnah? Think it out. and then see what the Gemara does with it. And if the Gemara says what you said, Baruch Shekivanta. If the Gemara doesn't say what you said, why didn't it say? What was wrong with your thinking? And he does the same thing with the Gemara. Don't look at Rashi. Try to think what the Gemara is. Come up with your pshat. And then check it against Rashi. You know, it takes a long time to do that, but that way, you know, you think through everything, and then you see what the Rishonim do. And then you, you know, if they say what you said, then, you know, you're on the right track. If they didn't, how come? What's wrong with what I said? You know, it's a very, very interesting way of learning.
But
Chumash, I don't think so. He did this with Gemara.
He wrote up his former on Gemara. My friend Yitzchak Reiler edited.
Yeah.
He put indexes in the back.
Yitzchak Reiler edited the Svarim, really?
He was working on his Svarim.
His Shiurim are very intricate. It's called Kuntraseha Shiurim. I haven't seen them around here, but they must be somewhere in the caverns of Or Sameach. And they're very, very intricate. It'll take like a sugya and, you know, 50-page, you know, thing, going through every shita, every risha, going through very, very thoroughly. A big, big guy. And again, he was a dayan in Vilna at a very young age. And a person of great, great midos. He took in people that parents he raised. I know people that were basically raised in his family. This mamash,
Chaval. She was in
Rechavia.
Someone donated $5 million. It's a beautiful building.
Yeah.
And on the second day Yontif, you have a lot of Americans.
That's right. He's going through a renaissance. For many, many years after the Rosheva was nifter in the 80s, for many years it was a decline. I mean, it was kamat. It never closed, but it was kamat a dead place. Now there's a big revival. It's actually getting. It was the first yeshiva in Rechavia. Rechavia, they tell me, it was started in 1920s, and they actually had a condition in the land records that no shul or yeshiva. It was written by rich Zionists who were totally against. They didn't want any religion in their beautiful neighborhood. So they actually had a law. It was legal that you were not allowed to have a yeshiva or a shul in Rechavia. Mamash, somehow. He got in, whatever it is, but that's why he had a commitment. He felt it was very important because Rechavia in those days, Baruch Hashem, it's much better today, but it was 90% not religious at all. It was Chiloni Lagamri. And he had a sheet that was very important for the Bnei Yeshiva to make a Kiddush Hashem and to get along well with the non-religious neighbors. That was his sheet, and that's still kind of the tzura of that yeshiva to this day, that people are ma'arib. You say good morning to people, whatever it is. You behave with a lot of derech. So that was a little aside. Okay, now, so this is the general. Now here's the issue. The Rambam. One other thing. So the Rambam paskins on this machlokes. Does a goy have a kinyan lavkia or not? The Rambam paskins a goy's kinyan is not mavkia kedusha zaris. Now, the Rambam says this, Lagabe Trumas and Maisras. What would the halacha be, Lagabe Shemitah? Right? If a guy owns land in Eretz Yisrael, if a guy owns land, is it Mufka from Shemitah? Or is it not Mufka from Shemitah? Now, if all you had was the Rambam and Hilchas Trumas, the logical conclusion would be, it's not Mufka from Shemitah, because after all, Kishem, that a guy's Kenyan is not Mafkia, the land, from the Chiyav of Trumas and Maisras, and there's only a Gzeres HaKasav of Meruach Akum, then the same way, the guy's ownership of land would not be Mafkia, the land, from the laws of Shemitah, applying the same thing. This indeed is the Shita of the Mabit. The Mabit is the father of the Maharit, right? Mabit is Rav Moshe ben Yosef Trani. Trani is a city in Italy. And he was one of the great, great Paiskim. He was in Sfat at the time of the Beis Yosef. He and the Beis Yosef have a major, major machlokes. And the Mabit might, again, I can't rank him. Sfat had so many Talmidei Chachamim. Beis Yosef was the Rav of Sfat. The Mabit was one of the main Dayanim.
Chief Rabbi of Constantinople.
Mabit says?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Oh, no, I got the wrong one. Forgive me.
Yeah, yeah. No, my bit was in Sfat. My bit was in Sfat.
Yeah, that's correct.
But the Marit, again, Moshe ben Yosef, but Marit is named after my bit's father, so that's Yosef ben Moshe, Trani. Now, this thing, now Rav Yosef Cairo, for reasons I'm going to say...
Oh, was his son also from Trani?
Huh? Well, it became a family name.
Trani.
Yeah, Trani. Now, the thing is this. Rav Yosef Cairo, for reasons I'm going to leave for next time, took the position that land that is owned by Goyim is Mufka from Kedusha Shviyas Ladamri. And this was a machlokas between them for around seven Shemitas, 50 years. They were chaylik on this. And it became quite personal. Yosef Cairo at various times wanted to put a Mabit Nechayrim on this. And the Talmidim were furious that the Mabit has the chutzpah to argue with the Beis Yosef. And they called him, how could you be chaylik on Rabbeinu HaMelech HaKadosh? They called the Beis Yosef HaMelech HaKadosh because Man Malchi Rabbanan and he's Kadosh. So the Mabit writes in a tshuva, I mean, listen to this, he actually writes it back in the tshuva, he says, even HaKadosh Baruch Hu is only called HaMelech HaKadosh during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. So I'm not going to call any Rav, any Gadol, HaMelech HaKadosh. So it really became quite personal on this. So what we're going to look at is that the yesod of the Heter Mechira that Rav Kook instituted is actually based on a fundamental machlokes, the Mabit and Rav Yosef Cairo, the Mechaber, whether ownership of land by a Nochri is Mafkia, the laws of Shvius. Now again, by Trumas and Maestris, the Rambam Paskins, it's not Mafkia. And the Mabit simply says, we treat Trumas and Maestris, we treat Shemitah the way we treat Trumas and Maestris. The problem we'll have to understand is, what is the Svara of the Beis Yosef, as it were, to treat it differently. By the way, it's important to know that the Minhag Yerushalayim for hundreds and hundreds of years is, like the Beis Yosef, Peiris Nachri does not have Kedusha, which means people make a big mistake. Because on one hand, everybody knows, oh, Mahadran Hashgachas don't rely on the Hedra Mechira. That is true. But 95% of what the Hedra Mechira is based upon, they do rely upon. Because the Etzem Yesod, that if it belongs to a guy, it doesn't have the laws of Shemitah, they're actually maskim to that, but they have other issues about you're not allowed to sell the land, etc. But the Etzem Inyan of Hafka, the Badatz is minded to that, the Eidah Haredis. What do? They don't rely on the Hedra Mechira, but they buy stuff from the Arabs. Well, why is that any better? You're buying, in other words, the Etzem, I'm not going with the issue of subsidizing terrorism, that's an important issue too. But you see, if you're buying from the Arabs, you're going with the Beis Yosef. Now, Lafuke, the Chazenish is the only Pesach in modern times who was Machria like the Mabit. And that's the Minhag of Bnei Brak, and as you know, Bnei Brak is penetrating into Yerushalayim in a number of ways. Yeah, I want to hop by. Okay, so we'll be mindful of this.
The land for Truman Mindset remains for Goyim because they have to take away from the land of Shemitah. But when the land belongs to Hashem, we are as Shemitah, there may be a more lenient way. Thank you.